Romans 4. I'm going to preach a message tonight in reference to faith. And this topic has come up a lot, at least in my world as of recent, and not just recent, probably for quite a while. Amen. It's always a topic that comes up in my world. But just something that I've really dealt with more recent and just praying about what to preach tonight. And this is definitely where God would have us to be. And so I want to look at a little different take on this. Won't even much mention Hebrews 11 a little bit, just a couple of things in there we're going to pull out. The thought of faith, the thought of what is faith and how did that develop and how does that affect our lives as well. So you might have a thought of faith. Faith, like in Hebrews says, the substance of things hoped for. Amen. Mm-hmm. Evidence of things not seen. We know that by the hearing of the word of God, right, we gain faith. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Faith is a very, very interesting thing. And it's very foundational to the Christian life. We don't get saved apart from faith, right? We get saved by faith. Amen. And so very, very important topic to discuss. So you're over in Romans 4. It's going to give you a couple of thoughts prior to that point. Some data. Amen. The word faithful is found 28 times in the Old Testament and 54 times in the New Testament. Faithful is a little different than faith. Being faithful doesn't necessarily mean that you have faith. It just means that you're consistent in something typically. Faithful are the wounds of a friend in the Old Testament. Kisses of an enemy are deceitful. So a faithful friend is one who is just consistent in giving biblical counsel, right? Right counsel, truthful and honest counsel, and not just trying to deceive for other reasons. So that word, again, faithful, we see it both Old and New Testament, 28 times Old, 54 times New. Then the word faith, this is interesting. The word faith is only found two times in the Old Testament. Is that interesting? Two times in the Old Testament. And yet it's found 245 times in the New Testament. That's interesting. Something that makes you go, exactly. The two times it's found in the Old Testament, Deuteronomy 32:20 says, and he said, I will hide my face from them, and I will see what their end shall be, for they are a very froward generation, children in whom is no faith. It's interesting. It's only found twice, and the one time there, they don't have any of it. Amen. And then in Habakkuk, very familiar passage, 2:4, behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. That's interesting because in the Old Testament there with the prophet, he says the just shall live by his faith. New Testament, the three times it's mentioned, it says the just shall live by faith. Amen? And that's an interesting discussion. Some people like that phrase there, his faith. Others, it's an interesting thought. It brings, whose faith are we talking about? His own or God's? It's an interesting thought. Nonetheless, two times, Old Testament, you'll find the word faith. 245 times you'll find that word in the New Testament. Now, the Old Testament does not focus directly on faith. It instead focuses on, I believe it focuses more on obedience and dedication to the one true God. And there are, I mean, if you have faith in God, those would follow for sure. But in the Old Testament, a little bit different in reference to what brings about faith and all that. And how things are. So I looked up the word hearken. I love the word hearken. That's just such a neat word. It is found 202 times in the Old Testament, but only 6 times in the New Testament. That is interesting. Amen? Hearken. And so God is constantly telling them to listen. Hearken. Pay attention. Amen? Old Testament. Although the word obey, obeyed, obedience is found 77 times Old Testament, 45 times New Testament. But a lot of the times in the New Testament, when it's referring to obeying, it's actually looking back, especially in the Gospels, looking it back at how the Old Testament fathers didn't obey God, right? And so a lot of those New Testament references is that being pointed back to say, your fathers didn't obey. They didn't listen to the prophets. They didn't listen to anything I said. So that's interesting. And there is a focus, Old Testament, more towards what idolatry is. It's mentioned New Testament, more of a focus Old Testament, and it really caused Israel some serious issues, the fact that they would turn from God and serve idols, right? Mentioned New Testament, mentioned there in Thessalonians as well, how they turned to God. turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God. So the concept's there, but it's more directly dealt with in the Old Testament. And yet, with all that said, New Testament, when God's going to explain to us what faith is, who does he use to explain it? Abraham. Isn't that amazing? I love studying the Word of God. It is so much fun, amen, to study and connect these dots and just see how things work. It's just, God is amazing, amen. Wonderful, amen. So look at Romans 4. Romans 4, and there are some things that are required for us to have the opportunity for faith, amen? And Romans here spells this out, and we'll see this in some other passages as well. I hope if you're interested in what it means to have faith, man, this is the message for you. I mean, if you really want to see some things in the scriptures that will absolutely connect some things for you on what it takes to have faith, then you definitely would want to listen tonight for sure. Maybe even take out something and jot some things down that you can study further later. Romans chapter 4, verse 13 says, "For the promise that he should be the heir of the world," referring to Abraham, "was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith." And so this promise of this inheritance, this promise that was given to him, was not through, in a sense, Abraham's genealogy, his family, the seed there, or the law, but through the righteousness of faith. And it's going to explain that. Verse 14, "For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of none effect, because the law worketh wrath. For where no law is, there is no transgression. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham." Now, this is connecting some things specifically in reference to, there's going to draw some things in reference to salvation it already has. It's building upon that. But one thing we want to point out in reference to faith, in order for you to have faith, there has to be a promise given. Amen. There has to be something given that you can trust in, a promise. The Bible specifically talks about a promise, and we'll see that repeatedly. So a promise had been given to Abraham, and we're going to develop that a little bit more. But let's go ahead and read a little further in this text in verse number 17. "As it is written, I've made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed." So Abraham believed, "even God who quickeneth the dead," watch this, "and calleth those things which be not as though they were." I love that passage, that right there, because people say, see, if you live by faith, you're living in a dream world. I mean, it's not even there yet, and you're going to act like it is. You can call it what you want, amen, but that's living by faith, amen. You're going to believe God even if what you see right now is not what you're told will be. Does that make sense? I have faith in it. I have faith in the promise. I have faith in the word of God, the promise by which it came. The word is how we know of the promise. I have faith in what God says, even though I can't see it, but I know it's right because I believe in the one that gave the promise. I have faith. I have faith in God. In salvation, absolutely, we can easily connect those dots to that, but it's more than that. Remember, the just shall live by faith. So we get saved by faith, but then we must live by faith. And so in this tonight, I just hope to help us each understand faith a little better, because it's imperative that we live by faith. Watch what it says here in verse 18. It just got done saying, "and calleth those things which be not as though they were." Watch this. "Who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be." Now, where it says against hope, believed in hope, in reference to man, what God had promised Abraham, it was impossible. It was impossible to man because the promise came to a couple that was barren and past the, even if they weren't, even if Sarah wasn't barren, it was past the time. It was past the time of childbearing. I mean, this was so impossible. He followed God to the land, but yet the promise was to thy seed, right? And so they're there against hope, meaning any rational, normal individual on earth who knows anything about how things work It just wasn't going to happen. It was against hope. It was against hope because it wasn't possible. Humanly speaking, it wasn't possible. But God gave a promise. You see where faith comes in? God gave a promise. And so Abraham had to make a decision. Am I going to believe what, in a sense, nature teaches, what observation or even science would hold to? Am I going to follow what I know to be true based on my experience and the experience of others in mankind? Or am I going to believe the promise of the Word of God? This is what faith is. Listen, faith is easy when it's believable. Doesn't require much faith. I have faith I'm going to wake up this morning. Well, hasn't that been the way it's worked out now for the most days of your life? Yeah. How much faith does that take? That's not faith. You see what I'm saying? Faith is when it's against what we know typically to be the way it works. Does that make sense? And so Abraham received a promise. It was hard to believe. It was hard to believe because it wasn't normal. It wasn't typical. It was totally atypical because it just didn't happen that way. So this is the ingredients for faith. If we're going to live by faith, this is the ingredient of faith, of the ingredients that go into faith. Who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations. Amen. Verse number 19. And being not weak in faith, He said he's not weak. This is amazing. If we know the story there, we know how much struggle he went through. But if you consider the time frame, nobody was walking in faith in that day. Nobody. It was so foreign. God, in a sense, nobody was following God in those days. It was a miracle that Abraham was even called out to walk in faith. It was totally, totally an anomaly compared to that day. The bringing about of a nation for the purpose of bringing a Messiah was needful because the whole world had gone down that wrong path. Does that make sense? And so when we look at Abraham, when we say, he looked weak to me, no. In corresponding looking at everybody else, no, he was strong in faith. And if you just think about that, when we look at Abraham's life, and if he's strong in faith in that day, think about how weak everybody else was in reference to this. It says, and being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body, now dead. It wasn't that he was dead. It meant the things necessary to be a father were dead. Amen. When he was about 100 years old. He's kind of an old fella. Amen. Amen. I feel young now at 54. Amen. Neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. Not only was he dead in reference to these things, so was she. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. By the way, he believed all the way. The struggle was with how it was going to come to be. He always believed that he would be a father. He was just trying to figure it out. He was trying to help God out. He was trying to, you know, kind of work out some details for God. And God said, no, that's not how it's going to work. It's going to be a miracle. It's going to be something you can't do. It's going to be something you can't manipulate. It's not something I want you to do. So in faith, there are parts we do, like believe. And at times, there are parts we do, like Abraham. I'm calling you out of the Ur of the Chaldees, and I want you to go to the land of Canaan. That was something he had to do. He had to follow that word. But once he got there, then it was up to God. Now it's on God to do. So this is difficult because in faith, there are at times things we're called to do by faith. But then there are things within faith that we're not called to do that we just need to be patient in and let God do. As we believe and trust him. Does that make sense? All right, it says, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. Look at verse 21. And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Another very important thing in faith. We have to first, to have faith, you have to have the promise. Amen. By the way, one of the big problems today of people not reading and studying their Bible is they don't have any promises of God. If you're not listening to God, you'll never hear a promise of God. If you never hear a promise of God, you can never walk in faith. Because the beginning of faith is You can't get saved unless you hear the gospel. Why? What's in the gospel? The promise. That if I will repent and believe, he'll save me. That's a promise. So nobody can get saved by faith unless they hear the promise that initiates that faith. Does that make sense? By the way, I think this is why, one of the reasons why I love studying the Bible so much. It's because as I do, I uncover more promises that I can say to God, God, you promised. God, you promised. I know you're not a liar. You promised. You promised. You promised. Do you ever remind God of what he promised you? I do all the time. I don't know about you. God, things aren't good right now, but you promised. I'm your child. This scripture right here, I know applies to me as your child. You promised me. That's what it means to live by faith. That's how it starts. You have to have a promise. And then you grab hold of that thing. And you study that out. And then you just follow it. Follow the promise. And he will do his part. Amen? If you'll believe it. This isn't name and claim it, nothing. This is absolutely, God spoke it. He promised. He wants us to live by faith. God wants us to live by faith more than we want to live by faith. Amen? So being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able to perform. By the way, I believe God can do anything. I believe that God is not bound by the natural laws. Joshua trying to win a battle, if he can pray and God hold back the sun for a little while, amen. He can do anything, amen. God can do anything, even the impossible, especially the impossible. And therefore, it was imputed to him for righteousness. Not unrighteousness, not for the wrong reasons, but for the right reasons and means. Now, it was not written for his sake. I love this part. It was not written for his sake alone. Man, who else is it written for, God? That it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. Hallelujah. Faith is for me too. It wasn't just for Abraham. It's for me in salvation and then to walk and to live by. For one to live by faith, they first need a promise of God to believe with an action connected and promise attached of God. Amen. As that is followed. That's what it needs. By the way, God is not impressed with us trying to ride the fence on things and us trying to reinterpret what he says so it better fits how we want to live. God loves it when we simply read his word and take him at his word and believe it, amen, and apply it to our lives, amen, and follow what it says, doing our part and trusting him to do his corresponding part. That's what it means to live by faith. Amen. His action, Abraham, was to sojourn in the land of promise and then to wait for the promised seed from Sarah's dead womb. That was it. That's as simple as it can get. Say, where do you get that from? Hebrews 11. Look over there because it explains in Hebrews 11 verses 8 through 12. When it says by faith Abraham, it explains to us what the promise was, what his part was, what God's part was, and how it all came to be. Hebrews 11, verse number 8. Remember, faith only mentioned twice Old Testament. And one of those times was to say they didn't have it. Even though it wasn't mentioned directly, we see it. And we know we see it because New Testament, Jesus with Abraham pointed out, the father of faith, Abraham, is the perfect example of what we're talking about. So even though it wasn't called that, that's what we're dealing with. That's what Jesus brings out as the example to us of faith. Hebrews 11 verse 8, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By the way, in faith, there's always a lot you don't know. Amen? There's always a lot that I just don't see, doesn't make sense, but I know God called me this direction. I know. I'm walking. I'm walking. I don't know what I'm getting myself into. I don't know where I'm going. I don't know what's going to happen when I get there. But I know this, that God is with me. And so I'm walking. I'm moving because God told me go. Amen. And that's what we see with Abraham. And that component is always true for us as we walk by faith. Verse 9, by faith, he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed. Notice where the strength came from. Faith. She didn't learn yoga. Hallelujah. Read the bulletin. She didn't do a bunch of stuff to make it happen herself is what I'm saying. That's not faith. Say, can it be? Yes, God can lead. God can direct and stuff. But we're talking about faith. It's typically this way. It's a promise. Do your part. Sit back. Wait for God to do his. And there's a lot of unknown. Amen. Well, that was just for free. Hope we didn't ruin it. Amen. Verse 11, through faith, also Sarah herself received strength to conceive and was delivered of a child when she was past age because she judged him faithful who had promised. He promised. You better get used to that, amen, if you're going to live faithfully in this generation, amen. You better get used to just learning to cry out to God and say, God, by your word, you promised. Amen. Verse 12, therefore sprang there even of one and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. He said, by faith, God was able to bring one out of the deadness of Abraham and the deadness of Sarah to bring about a people as the sand of the seashore innumerable. Miracle. Miraculous. God is a man of his word. God is a he's not afraid to make a promise because everyone he's made, he can fulfill and keep. Amen. We want to be careful not to make those promises we can't keep. But I guarantee you, when God makes a promise, he is able to keep it. One can only live by faith if they first have a promise from God. And again, this is why the hearing of the word of God becomes so important. Faith cometh by hearing. Why? Because it's the hearing of the word that we hear the promises of God. If I was to ask you tonight, take out a sheet of paper, we're going to have a test. Write down every promise of God you can think of. You got 10 minutes, go. How would you do? My guess is many wouldn't do real well because you don't think this way. I'm telling you, this is the key to an empowered, supernaturally experienced Christian life. It truly is. Living by faith. Look over at Matthew chapter 8. As far as I know, Israel was never referred to by God as a people of faith. Abraham was a person of faith, but I don't recall ever hearing God refer to Israel as a whole as a people of faith. A rebellious people, heard that a lot. Amen. A stiff-necked people, hear that a lot. But I don't hear him saying, man, right there, that Israel, boy, they know how to live by faith. I don't see it. Jesus points this out here in Matthew 8, verse 9. Jesus is there, and he notices, well, there's a centurion talking with him. And this is Jesus' response. The centurion says a few things, then Jesus responds. Look at Matthew 8, verse 9. He says, for I am a man under authority, having soldiers unto me. And I say to this man, go, and he goeth. This is a centurion telling Jesus. He knows what faith is because he experiences something similar. He says, he says to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant do this, and he doeth it. And when Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, "Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel." Say, what was such great faith? This guy's basically saying, I understand the role I play on earth here, being a commander over a group of soldiers, is the same role you play as well as God. And he says, there are those under you just like there are those under me. And the way it's supposed to work is, when I as the commander say do this, it just happens. And they follow and all on and on and on. And Jesus said, you got it. That right there is faith. Faith is the commander speaks and those under his command just do it. Why? Because we understand the position. We understand the structure. And we believe in our commander. And so we just follow. He gives the orders. We just follow by faith. We don't even know how the battle plan was drawn. We don't know all the ins and outs. We don't know all the positions of the enemies. We don't know all that went into that decision. But we know this. God knows. Our commander knows. And so we're not going to second guess every decision. Well, why should we do that? Or why should we go here? No, he wasn't saying question the commander constantly. No, he said just listen and do it. That's what faith is. Amen. Look at Mark 4. Jesus also often pointed out a lack of faith in his disciples. A lack of faith. Mark chapter 4. Now, in pointing this out, we're going to see some very important things in reference to faith from Christ's perspective. Mark chapter 4 and in verse number 36. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And so the multitude's gone. It's the closer disciples here, apostles. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. So it's filling up with water. The boat is filling up with water. And if you've been on a body of water, a lake, or in this case, a sea, and your boat is filling up with water, that's a problem. Amen? All right, okay. Physically speaking, boat filling up with water, I'm in the middle of the sea, we got issues. Does that make sense? All right, we got the situation. So physically, we're in trouble. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, Christ, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace be still. And the wind ceased. And there was a great calm. And he said unto him, Why are ye so fearful? Okay. When we're not walking by faith, we tend to be fearful of a lot of things that we shouldn't be. Amen. What you say, well, how does this apply here? Jesus is pointing out that there's no way they all could have died in this scenario. Because the plan was bigger than they had to be here. Does that make sense? Can I say as an individual, as a preacher of the gospel, as a Christian, I understand that I'm going to be on this earth as long as God wants me to be on this earth. It doesn't matter what situation I find myself in. If I'm to be here longer, I'm going to be here longer. I don't got to worry about it. They were on a sinking ship in a storm. Most people die in those events. Jesus rebuked them because they were afraid. And they were in a situation that any of us would have been afraid unless we were living by faith in the moment. Faith in the fact that I can't die. Because I have a bigger purpose than that. That was the indictment from Christ to them. That was the rebuke. Yeah, but Jesus, you were asleep. Yeah, but you couldn't die. You can't die. We can't die. Do you get it? We can't die. Our job's not done. It's impossible. That's what Jesus could easily say to them. Does that make sense? We're talking about living by faith. Amen? And so how is it that, he says, why are you so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? How can you be so calm right now? I'm just trusting God. I believe he has a plan. Amen. Why are you so fearful right now? Well, don't you know what can happen? Don't you know God's bigger than what can happen? That's faith. It's not being stupid. It's just understanding the promises of God, the word of God, the way things are, and the power of God. Amen. And they, watch this, and they feared exceedingly and said one to another. Now they're not afraid of the boat and the conditions. Now they're afraid of Jesus. Amen. They feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? Amen. Look at Matthew 16 and in verse 5. Matthew 16, verse 5. And when his disciples were come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. You couldn't just pull up to the nearest fast food, you know, restaurant in those days. Amen. I don't think anyway, maybe, but it looks like you couldn't. Verse 6. Then Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Now think with me here. If your group is all concerned about, man, we didn't bring food with us. What in the world? You forgot the cooler. I know. I'm sorry. I meant to bring it. I forgot it. We just left it. I mean, we took off so quick. There was so much going on. We left the bread. Oh, we're in trouble. We're going to be on this side for a while. We don't have any money. We're in trouble. How are we going to get us ourselves some bread? In the midst of all that, Jesus speaks up and says, hey, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Their mind is in context of physical bread. And he says, beware of the leaven. So they're thinking, oh man, now we can't even buy bread of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Their bread's bad. Verse 7. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, is it because we've taken no bread? Which when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, watch this. O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves because ye have brought no bread? What's he saying? He's saying, you know what? Even in you forgetting bread, he's saying again, you're going to be okay. You're not going to die. Our job's not done yet. That's what he's saying. Because he says in this text, he says, do you not yet understand? Neither remember the 5 loaves and the 5,000 and how many baskets you took up? This is after that. Neither the 7 loaves or the 4,000 and how many baskets you took up? How is it that ye do not understand that I speak to you, speak it not to you concerning bread, that you should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees? When I said that, that had nothing to do with physical bread. It had everything to do with the false teachings and false doctrine of the Pharisees and Sadducees. But their mind instantly went to something they were afraid of. They were fearful of not having bread to eat. They were fearful of going hungry. They were fearful of not having sustenance to help them to maintain strength. So their not having faith here is this. It is their lack of understanding in the area of the fact that Jesus was going to take care of their needs. Sometimes we get a little fearful because we feel like our needs aren't being cared for. We start doing some crazy things. Oh, I got to take 45 jobs and miss everything God wants me to be involved in because I need to take care of myself. No, faith isn't just what you do. See, don't you know that God said he takes care of those that take care of themselves? That's not found in the Bible. I'm sorry. I don't know who said it, but it wasn't Jesus. God helps those that help themselves. That's the saying. That is not in the Bible. No, faith has both components. He gives us a promise. Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And the very context there is clothing, shelter, and food. So First, I must seek employment. No, first you must seek the kingdom of God. Seek, it's Bible. Seek ye, what is it? Third, the kingdom of God. That's what it says. Seek ye 21st, the kingdom, no. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. And all these things shall be added unto you. It's called a promise. So you read that and you believe it. God, you said, if I seek first your kingdom, he's going to add to me these things. Now, in that walking in faith, he may direct you and will most likely to have some form of employment. But that employment will not keep you from the things of God or seeking the things of God, because the promise was all about doing that first. See the order? So we walk by faith. We will have a part, but we have to trust God to do his part. And he will miraculously do his part. That's what it means to walk by faith. Look at Matthew 21. Matthew 21, verse number 18. Now in the morning, he returned into the city. He hungered. And when he saw a fig tree in the way, he came to it and found nothing thereon but leaves only, and said unto it, let no fruit grow on thee henceforth forever. And presently the fig tree withered away. And when the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, how soon is the fig tree withered away? Jesus answered and said unto them, verily I say unto you, if ye have faith and doubt not. Well, I just don't know. I just don't know what God's going to do. I just don't know. Doubt's a killer in reference to the promise of God being realized. It's a killer. It says, if ye have faith and doubt not, ye shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also ye shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and it shall be done. And all things whatsoever ye ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. I know there's a caveat as far as asking and missing on that. I get it. But we have a greater chance of never asking in faith when we always doubt and never are willing to ask in faith. The question really is, how big is God in your life? How able is God in your life in this day that we live to do miraculous things? Is it all on you, really? Or is it more on God? When I look at what Abraham was called to do, was little compared to what God did. Amen. The question is, do we have faith? Look at Matthew 17, verse number 15. Matthew 17, verse number 15. Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is lunatic. There's a lot of them today, amen. That's a side note. All right. And sore vexed. And oftentimes he falleth into the fire and off into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. That's pretty strong. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him. And the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could not we cast him out? And this is the direct question. Why couldn't we cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, because of your what? Unbelief. I know, but but later it says, howbeit this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. I know. But when Jesus is directly answered, what was their issue? The direct response wasn't, you didn't fast long enough. That wasn't it. The direct response wasn't, you didn't pray the right prayer. The direct response was your unbelief. You didn't believe. You didn't believe that the power was there from God through you to do this. You didn't believe. And by the way, we can go back and show you how God gave them that direct power to do this. Not saying that you and I have this power like they do. I don't believe it is an apostolic power that they were given. Nonetheless, they had that power. But in this moment, and they had before healed, but in this moment, the reason this one didn't get healed was because of their unbelief. That's what it says. Amen. Look at Luke 7. Can I say that God does great things in response to our faith? Those of us that are fathers in here, when your kid puts you on the spot and says, my dad can, Do you say, oh, come on, son, stop it, stop it. Don't. No, you're like, better believe it. It's in us. It's in us, is it not? It's just the way it goes. If there's any father in here that that's not the case, I'm sorry. I don't know what happened to you somewhere in your childhood, amen. But I'm just kidding. But anyway, it's in us to love the fact that our children hold us in such high regard, amen. Praise the Lord. I hold my Heavenly Father in high regard and what He can and does do. Amen. Luke 7, verse 44. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house, and thou, says thou, gavest me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. What? Simply for crying and wiping feet, washing feet with the tears and putting some ointment on Jesus' feet. Amen. Thy sins are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, who is this that forgiveth sins also? Watch what he says. And he said to the woman, thy faith has saved thee. He didn't say, you washing my feet saved you. You crying saved you. You putting ointment on my, none of that. You putting yourself in a position of humility saved you. You doing, none of that. It was thy faith saved thee. I don't know all the ins and outs of what was going on here. We could read and we can get some good idea of what was going on. But she believed that that was Jesus, the Son of God, the Messiah, that he was able to help her. He was able to heal her. And he didn't care, or she didn't care how foolish she would look in front of others. See, our pride oftentimes says, oh, don't do that. Just think what others might think. She didn't care. All she knew is that she felt compelled to just bow before him. The tears were already flowing. And she just wanted to touch him. She just wanted to do something right and nice there in that day for him. She just wanted to do what she could. And at the end of the day, Jesus said, thy faith hath saved thee. On the flip side, look at Matthew 13. In verse number 58, Jesus does great things in response to our faith. But Jesus does no mighty work for those that are unbelievers and lack faith. Matthew 13, 58, he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief. Because of their unbelief. Look back at Romans 14. We're going to look at Romans 14, James 1, and then finish up in Luke 18. We finished. Romans 14. Faith means to be fully convinced by God of a truth. And I agree. Don't move. Don't go forward unless you're fully convinced. But at the same time, you get yourself in the source of faith, the Word of God, the promise book of God. Get yourself in there until you can be convinced one way or the other. People say, I haven't got saved yet because I'm just not sure. You better get yourself in the book and you better become sure one way or the other. The issue is too big. Well, I do this. I live the way I live because, you know, I just live in ignorance. I don't study it out. What's the Bible say how you should dress? I don't know. I just don't buy into all that everybody says. Have you ever studied that out? Nah, I don't need to study that out. What? The Bible pertains to everything. It contains everything that pertains to life and godliness. Everything is in there. How you present yourself, you've never studied that out. How your Heavenly Father wants you to present yourself to a lost and dying world who needs to see the express image of Jesus Christ, and you've not thought about thinking about, hey, I wonder how God says I should look? Are you kidding me? How can you walk by faith if you don't even know what the Bible says you should look like? Well, you know, I listen to what I listen to because, you know, I just think it's right and it's good. Have you ever studied that issue of music? No, I don't got time for that. Whoa, music is one of the biggest influences we have in our lives. It's constantly flowing in. It breaks through barriers. It comes right in. The harmony and all that does all kinds of things to us. Amen. Affects our moods, affects our spirit, everything. Amen. And you've not studied it out? You don't know and you're listening? You don't know? Are you kidding me? You're letting... Sounds to me like you need to go on a fast for music until you study it out. Why? Because it's too important. Do you see what I'm saying? We got to get to the place that we understand the just shall live by faith. Not what I think is right, but what God says is right. That's what it means to live by faith. Faith. Be fully convinced by God of a truth. Romans 14, verse 22. Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in that thing which he alloweth. No condemnation because you proved it out. You're walking by truth. You're walking by what God says. You're living according to that promise. Verse 23, and he that doubteth is damned if he eat. This is in reference to meat offered there under idols and all that. The principle holds true. Because he eateth not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is... Whoa. In order to walk by faith, it's not, well, I just think it's a good idea. That's not faith. Walking by faith is not, well, I look better than my neighbor. That's not faith. Walking by faith is not, you know, it sounds good to me. It's what I want to do. That's not walking by faith. Walking by faith is not, this person I really respect does it. That's not walking by faith either. Walking by faith is, I've sought out the promise. I know what the book says, and I trust God to be right. And I'm willing to do my part, which is small, and I'm going to watch him do his part, which is big. And it's miraculous, and it is amazing. Amen. We must learn to walk by faith. Look at James 1. Faith is not confidence in self. Faith is not confidence in what I think. Faith is confidence in God's word, confidence in God's promises, that if I will do my little part in belief, it just testifies of my belief. Someone says, I believe it's right to be in church. Great. How come you're never there? Right? So the point, not you are, so that's good. I'm saying the point is if someone says, I believe this, and then they don't do that little part they're called to do, they don't believe. So God always gives us a little part to show that we really believe what this book says. Spare not the rod. What's your little part? Use the rod. And if you don't believe the book on child discipline, and you will not reap any blessings of God in that area. Does that make sense? I mean, on and on and on this is true. Just do your little part that God gives you in everything. And God will do his big part all over the place in your life. Amen. Amen. James 1. Say, yeah, but it's so hard. God gave a provision for that. James 1 verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Ask God for what? Wisdom. That giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. If you're struggling in an area, you've studied it out, you see the promise of God, and you're struggling to do your wee little part to be faithful, God says, ask me for wisdom. I'll tell you how it can be done. I will give you help. Just ask me. And if you'll ask me, I will give it you. Look at verse 6. Oh, here's the caveat. But let him ask in faith. Asking in faith means I've already studied it. We normally ask God in ignorance, don't we? We don't spend the time in the book. We don't spend the time learning His word. I don't have time for that. I really want to know God's will. Have you studied it out? No. Well, then you don't really want to know His will. I really want to know what God thinks about this. Have you studied it out? No, but I've scoured the internet. What? That time you took doing all that, you should have gotten His book, amen. Why? Because this is where faith starts. It starts with the word of God. It doesn't start with what I think. It doesn't start with what you think. It doesn't start with what the group thinks. It doesn't matter what the group thinks. Remember, the broad way is going down the road of destruction. It's hard. We need to get into the book, amen. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. Watch this. For let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. Do you know how you can ensure that you'll receive nothing from God? Walk in a manner that's not of faith. Walk in a doubting manner. Walk in a double-minded way. And when you do that, here, Bible, the Bible says that if you do not walk in faith, that's what it says. If you don't walk in faith, you will receive nothing from the Lord. Do you see why this is so important? I don't know about you, but I need a lot from God. So my only answer then is I have to walk in faith. And if God has connected faith with His book, I got to know this book. I got to. I got to study things out. I have to know what it says. I have to. Why? Without it, I can't have faith. But once I learn the promise of God's word, once I learn what His word says, now I can grab hold of it, believe it, do my little part, watch this, and watch Him work. Amen. Hallelujah. That's how it works. Verse 8, and then we'll jump to Luke 18. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Do you know how you know if you're unstable? You know if you're not walking in faith, you're unstable, which means you're not faithful. And no one knows what you're going to do from one day to the next. Well, it just depends which person wakes up that day. Depends on what's going on in that person's life that day. It just depends on what that person thinks is good for them that day. They change their mind all the time. They change their mind more than they change their undergarments. Amen. They just change their mind. They change, but meddle not with them that are given to change, the Bible says. Amen. Why? They're unstable. Can't be counted on. But Jesus can be counted on. He's faithful. And the Bible says a faithful man abounds with blessing. Amen. Luke 18, verse number 6. Luke 18, verse 6. Last passage we'll look at tonight, kind of bring this together. The Lord said, verse number 6 there, Luke 18. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge His own elect? By the way, in that particular context, woman kept crying out to the judge. He was an unjust judge. He was not a righteous judge. He still avenged her because of her continual coming. And he says, hear what she's saying here. He says, now, shall not God avenge His own elect, which cry day and night unto Him, though He bear long with them? I tell you that He will avenge them speedily. Whoa, 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 that's a promise. That's a promise. What's the promise? If I'm one of His own elect, I'm born again, and I keep crying out to God, God says He will avenge me speedily. That's what it says. So I've been crying out, and He's not avenged me yet. Sounds like I hear a little bit of doubt going on there. I hear a little bit of doubt. He that doubteth is damned. Whatsoever is not faith is sin. Double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. If you lack wisdom, just ask God. But then walk in that wisdom. Believe it even though it looks like it'll never happen. Believe it. That's what faith is. That's the example given in Scripture. It's not just the example. That's the direct teaching in Scripture. Watch this. Nevertheless, oh, this is amazing. Verse 8, nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, referring to when Christ returns, shall he find faith on the earth? I don't believe this to be salvation faith, because the gospel will continue to be preached. It's clear. People are going to be getting saved. I believe this is living faith. I believe this is living by faith. In a weird way, it's easier to believe. We always say, if you can believe God for saving your eternal soul, how come you can't believe God for living out? It's just, there's a difference there. I believe, you can believe that Jesus Christ came to this earth, lived a perfect life, died on the cross, went in the grave, rose again as a sacrifice with his own blood, went up and made an offering before God. You can believe all of that and struggle with living by faith. When Jesus returns, will he find any of his people living by faith? That's a good question. Here's how I like to answer that. God, if I'm here, I hope that to be the case. Because I'm only responsible for me. But how about you? If you're here when he returns, will he at least find one? Will you commit and say with God's help, I, as a believer, I'm going to walk by faith. I am going to live by faith. I'm going to stop acting like I'm some wonderful Christian who knows nothing of the promise of God. I'm going to stop acting like I'm living by faith when I know I'm not. And I am going to take his word and promises seriously, and I am going to study these things out myself until he convinces me. And once he convinces me, buddy, I'm going to hang on tight. And even when it looks like everything's crumbling around me, I'm just going to look unto Jesus and keep believing in him. Though it doesn't look like it's going to happen, I know it will, because I trust him. And he always fulfills his promises. That's faith. And that's what it means to live by faith. Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. How do you diligently seek God? Get that book open. That's how. Get that book open. Turn off whatever you got to turn off. You get yourself some time. Get the book open. Learn the promises of God so you can live by faith, and so that God can show himself strong in your life. Amen. God, thank you for tonight. Thank you for this time together, Lord. I know you've taught me so much in this area. I have so much more to learn. God, this is so important for us as believers. Help us, dear God, as saints in this church, to live by faith. God, please help us with it. I pray that tonight's been a help. It might even spawn some further study. God, that would be a tremendous blessing. God, help us with this tonight. I know that there have been way, way too many times in my life that I have doubted you. I've wavered. I've been double-minded. And I can testify that in every one of those times, you did nothing. You did nothing in the area of helping. It's like I was all alone. And it's because I wanted to do it myself. I asked you to sit on the sideline because I refused to walk by faith. Oh God, as a believer, if I want you involved in my life, if I want you directly involved, and if I want to see the true promises of God revealed in my life, then I have to walk by faith and not by sight. I can't doubt. I have to, like Abraham, just know, man, it just looks like there's no way this can happen, God. I'm past the time of age. My wife's past the time of age. She's barren to boot. But you promised. I have a choice to make. Oh, God, thank you that Abraham believed you. And, oh, God, it freed you up, and you brought about Isaac, the promised child that then a whole nation would spawn from. Thank you, dear God, for this example in Scripture, this family that you've told us about, this real family that walked the earth. Thank you, dear God. Thank you for this night. Help us with this, I pray in Jesus' name. Heads, my eyes closed just for a moment.